postpartum body odor. It is a totally natural phenomenon because your body chemistry changes after giving birth. And so sometimes that means that what worked before is no longer effective. But I am excited to say that now there is a solution for that stubborn odor. The Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is a completely natural deodorant made by a postpartum mom who went through it herself. And it works by eliminating and preventing bacterial body odor without covering up your skin's comforting smell to your baby while giving you 12 hours of odor control. And let me tell you, it actually works. Here at the house, we've all been trying it and loving it. Now, before you think, ew, you're sharing a deodorant with your husband and daughter, let me explain that this full body deodorant comes in a convenient pump applicator that lets you apply it anywhere on your body with no bacteria traveling on the deodorant, so no ew involved. We also love that the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant has a delightful natural scent of USDA certified organic extracts that smell like a pink sugar cookie with lemon frosting. I thought this would be a little strange, but it's actually amazing. Also, the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is free from artificial fragrances and any kind of senoestrogens or herbs that can interfere with breastfeeding. Find your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant at postpartumdeodorant.com. That's postpartumdeodorant.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off through the month of May. Get your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant now at postpartumdeodorant.com and start smelling more like yourself again. I'm Adriana Lozada, and you're listening to Birthful. And today, just like we do every other week, we're going to take a deep dive into a fascinating perinatal topic. Today, we're really going to nerd out in the physiology because I wanted to talk about how the type of mammal that we are as humans determines what our babies need from us. And you might say, type of mammals? Yes, type of mammals. Because it turns out that mammals can be classified on a spectrum from altricial to precocial, with the altricial being those that are born very immature, that they can't move that much, they need protection and they need warmth, they can't regulate their temperature that great, but that protection can be from the environment, like say a den or a burrow, not necessarily having, you know, contact with another mammalian body. Now, the precocials, they're well-developed and able to move about at birth, and they tend to stay in very close contact with their mothers throughout. Now, where do humans fit in all of this? That's the question that Dr. Niels Bergman, a Swedish specialist in perinatal neuroscience and also one of the founders of the kangaroo care movement, that's one of the questions he set out to answer. Dr. Bergman took a closer look at mammalian feeding patterns, their milk composition, and how far infants can be away from their parents and for how long they can be away. And he came up with four general categories of mammals within that altricial to precocial spectrum. These categories are nest mammals, cache mammals, spelled C-A-C-H-E, like when a web page is cached in your browser, follow mammals, and carry mammals. All right, so first let's take a look at the cache mammals, which are very altricial. These are babies that are kind of tucked away in a safe place and parents return to feed them every 12 hours or more. Their milk is very high in protein and fat, and that's to help keep them very full for a long time. Also, because if they get hungry and start crying, crying would alert predators. So that milk is high in protein, high in fat to keep them full, keep them from crying. And they're also relatively quite mature at birth. They can control their own temperatures. They can keep quiet. Some examples of cache mammals are deers and rabbits and also bats. So then if we look at nest mammals, those are less mature at birth than cache mammals or that follow mammals. They tend to be born in litters, and that is because they need the warmth of the nest or the warmth of others. So they're not that great at regulating their own temperatures. Their milk is lower in protein and fat than the cache mammals, so they need to eat more often. They usually feed around every 2 to 4 hours, and so parents return to the nest several times per day to feed them. Some examples of nest mammals are wolves, dogs, and cats. Ah, postpartum brain fog. Did you even know that was a thing? But I'm guessing that if you have little ones at home, you're probably feeling it, along with the increased mental load of trying to be a multitasking caregiver, facing the stressful demands of everyday life. And that's without even considering the added lack of sleep. It's definitely a lot, which is why I'm so appreciative of Needed's cognitive support supplement, created to help support key aspects of cognitive health like focus and attention, brain health and memory, and even alleviate brain fog and eye fatigue. Now, what makes Needed's cognitive support so unique is that, unlike many other cognitive support supplements, Needed's is appropriate to take while breastfeeding. In fact, it was designed with this in mind. But don't just take my word for it. In an in-market study, 92% of people taking Needed's cognitive support saw an improvement in overall cognitive function, with 78% seeing an improvement in mental clarity, aka brain fog. And of these many positive reviews, my favorite is one that says, quote, "This is my third postpartum period. This is the best I have felt mentally and physically, despite now having 3 kiddos to care for," end quote. Basically, taking Needed's cognitive support is an easy way to help reclaim your brain during postpartum. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. That's thisisneeded.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. Now, towards the precocial end of the spectrum, we have follow mammals. And these are baby mammals that are born mature and can walk enough to follow their parents right after birth. They tend to stay close and feed very frequently during the day and night. And they need to do that because their milk content is lower in fat and protein than both the cache or the nest animals. They also have hair to help them control their temperature, which they can do quite well. Again, they're very mature. Some examples of these follow mammals are cows and giraffes and horses and sheep and elephants and zebras. You have seen them be born and then immediately start walking. It's really impressive. So then let's take a look at carry mammals. And carry mammals are the most immature at birth. They're completely dependent for food, for warmth, for safety. And they also need to be carried constantly because they know they need to be close to a body for all these things. So they do not like to be put down. That feels to them unsafe and it makes them distressed. So then they cry when being separated or feeling unsafe. They are not great at regulating their own temperatures, so they need the warmth of other bodies to keep them warm. And if we look at their milk composition, it's low in fat, low in protein, which means they need to feed around the clock, and it tends to be in clustered, frequent, and short intervals because their stomachs are not that big. Some examples of carry mammals are apes and marsupials like kangaroos. And so I mentioned that the milk composition of carry mammals is the lowest in protein and fat. And what Dr. Niels noticed is that that is also the case of human milk. Also, our human babies tend to be born very immature, completely dependent for food, for warmth, and safety. So ding, 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 if you were thinking humans are carry mammals, yes, we are. If you take a look at the composition of human milk, it is 4% fat, 1% protein, 7% carbohydrate, and 88% water. And when I learned that human milk is 88% water, That definitely made sense to me because I remember breastfeeding my baby and being so thirsty. And that is the experience of a lot of people. So make sure when you're breastfeeding that you have a big glass of water or a container with water next to you. So from this research, Dr. Bergman concluded that human babies are programmed to feed often and to be carried a lot. And this idea that they need to eat every 2 to 3 hours with an average of 8 to 12 times a day might actually be too infrequent. Dr. Bergman talks about having them eat every hour since newborns can only handle about 20 milliliters of milk at a time because of the size of their stomachs. And their sleep cycles are just under an hour. So then if you go to eating every hour or so, it would be like feed, sleep, feed, sleep, feed, sleep, and do as much skin to skin as possible. That all brings regulation, it brings calm, and is what their biology expects after 2 million years as hunter-gatherers and only 10,000 as agriculturists and a bit over 100 in this more industrialized environment that we've got going on today. Because carry mammals tend to be the most immature, they need the protective buffering of an adult body that holds them and feeds them and brings them surges of oxytocin to help grow their brains in a circuitry of connection instead of isolation, which is biologically stressful for them. So in a way, being connected to that body is what helps them complete their path towards maturity, because it's much more about brain wiring for both baby and the primary parent than just feeding or just holding. So to review, 4 types of mammals: cache, nest, follow, and carry mammals, with humans falling into the carry category because the milk composition is low in fat and low in protein, which means our babies need to eat all the time and they also need to be carried all the time. So hopefully understanding this will serve as some form of consolation if you find that your baby won't let you put them down. And if that is the case, see if you can activate your inner kangaroo and prepare to wear your baby often and feed them often. If you're wondering for how long this constant contact needs to happen, there isn't really a hard stop when babies are like, nope, I don't need any more of this type of contact. I don't need to be carried all the time. But there does tend to be a change around 3 months where babies finally understand that they're individuals and not connected to you, like that they're actually separate from you. That happens around 3 months. And then when they start getting more mobile and crawling and their environment expands beyond the safety of your body, then you'll see that they start spending a lot more time away from you. Because our bodies don't have pouches like kangaroos do, remember that baby carriers are definitely your friends, and so are helpful helpers of the family and friend variety that can hold your baby while you take a shower, have a nap, or take a break. While it is true that your baby needs constant connection, that doesn't mean that it has to be solely from you. Remember your village and lean on them as well. You can connect with Birthful on Instagram at Birthful Podcast. And to learn more about Birthful and my birth and postpartum preparation classes, go to birthful.com. Birthful was created by me, Adriana Lozada, and this episode was produced by LWC Studios, Paulina Velasco, Jen Chien, and Kojin Tashiro. Thank you for listening to and sharing Birthful. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere you listen. And come back for more ways to inform your intuition.